Shalom and blessed be Jesus. We want to do a session of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we want to do from verses 13 all the way to verses 18. We have been learning about the church at Thessalonica, Thessalonian church, which was in the region of Macedonia. This is one of the church that we can learn from. It was a church that showed resilience in the face of persecution. It was a very resourceful church. Their faith ran to Macedonia and Achaia and beyond all the provinces. It was a model church. It was an example to many other. And even to this very day, we can be able to copy the faith of the Macedonian, the faith of the Thessalonica, the Thessalonian church. And so Paul wrote to this church to establish them in the three marks of a true overcoming fellowship. According to Paul and according to the scripture, is that the church is built on faith that endures, a strong faith. The church is also built on the love of God, what we call the service. And the church is built on the hope of the second coming of Jesus Christ. In the words, we have discovered that faith translates into salvation. It's about salvation. So the church is built on salvation. Paul wrote so much about the salvation, what came and how salvation began by the blood of Jesus Christ, by accepting Jesus Christ in the midst of suffering. Then when we talk about love, that points to the service. The church need to serve God and to serve one another. Then when we talk about hope, we are talking about steadfastness. These are three attributes that we are talking about. So in chapter 1, the First Thessalonians chapter 1, all the way to first part of chapter 4, we have been looking at two of those elements. That is faith and love. The last episode, we looked at Paul, that is chapter 4, verse 1. Paul was talking about living to praise God. And he said, living to praise God, as they were indeed doing, was going to two major issues. One of the issues is to be sanctified, is to avoid sexual immorality, or to avoid what we'd call porneia. Now, this is one of the elements of what we call living to praise God. And they learn to control their own body and to be holy and honorable, not to have passionate lust like pagans, and not to defraud or to take advantage of their brothers and sisters, and not to take advantage of the marriages of believers. Say it, please don't take advantage of the believers. Don't do that. And so this went on, and Paul really expounded on them. But Paul had not talked about one other element, which is about hope or steadfastness, from chapter 4 and verse 13 all the way to 18. Now, Paul took time to speak about, you know, hope now. And he began from verses 13 or to verse 18. Now, I want you to see that as he continued to look at hope, as he continued looking at the hope of these people, which was actually lacking. And why is he doing or talking about hope? Because the enemies of this church had brought long doctrine. And one of the long doctrine was believing in Jesus is in vain. Having faith in Jesus is in vain. Serving Jesus and your family and working with your hands is in vain. Those who died in the Lord are lost and lost forever. You never see them again. Now, that teaching, that the preaching that the day of the Lord has already come, and those who died in the Lord are lost, made the church to lose courage completely. And one of the ways that this church could have been ruined completely is to misinform this church that they will never see the believers again. Yet Paul had taught them that those who sleep in the Lord are not lost. So Paul wrote now to speak about steadfastness, for them to be steadfast, not to be moved by anything. That those who died in the Lord, your brothers and sisters, your children, are intact. And then he said, verses 13, First Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death. What a good topic to discuss. Don't be uninformed to those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. So now he comes to hope, and he says, people who have no hope grieve with like pagans. People who are pagans, because they have no hope, grieve so badly because of their dear ones who have slept in death. So Paul says, don't be uninformed, don't be ignorant. And so we discover there's a lot of ignorance. There's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of rejection of the true knowledge in as far as death of a believer is concerned. Death of an unbeliever is concerned. Grieving process. We know that there is about death and there's a grieving process. And we discover that the grieving process of those who die, or those who are left because of those who die, is that people start by rejecting. They reject the reality that their beloved have died. It is a natural process, and we should allow it to go on. But people should be supported during this time. And so the people start by rejecting. This is in psychology. They start to reject. Number two, they get angry with God. They get angry with everybody. They get angry with death. They are full of anger. We grieve by anger. We are disappointed that we had trusted in God and our beloved have died. And we get angry with it. You are crying, but sometimes crying is with anger. We crunch our teeth, and our fists are really crunched with anger. Then number three, we go to what we call bargaining. People are able to bargain to God. They bargain. They're telling God, please, God, just allow her to come back. Allow him to come back. You call them, trusting God will do that. When that person does not come back, people can now go to two positions, number four or five. Four is where people now get into depression. This is where you grieve without hope. This is where you get so worn out and you start seeing things are not working at all. But people say, but Paul was saying, this is not the end. You have to go to the fifth position, which is acceptance. You have accept as God's will. And you say, God has taken my relative, my friend, my child, my wife, my husband, and the person that you love so much. But I want you to know, Paul is saying, don't be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind, who have no hope. Then he says, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again. This is the foundation of our encouragement, dear brothers. And number one is that for us to have hope is we believe Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. So we believe that Jesus is coming again. He died, he rose again, and he's soon coming. But as he come again, he will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. This is about the rapture. Now, so this is about when Jesus comes again the second time, he will bring those who have fallen asleep in him. That's the second time. This is not talking about the rapture. That scripture is talking about the second coming, when Jesus will come and bring those with him. You know, look, it says, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. The people who have fallen asleep with Jesus, they are with Jesus again. And so when Jesus comes the second time, he will come back together with them. According to the Lord's command, we tell you that will not those who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Now here, he turns, verse 15, he turns to the rapture. Verse 14, he's talking about the final coming of Jesus with the church, with those who are in him. We know with the spirit of the men who died with the Lord are in him. But now he says, but according to the Lord's word, I tell you that those who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is about the rapture, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep, because those who have fallen asleep will be the first to raise up. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in the Lord will raise first. We are talking about the raising of the dead, those who slept in Jesus. I want to encourage those who died in Jesus. They will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Paul is talking and telling the church to encourage one another with the words that our resurrection is pegged on the resurrection of Jesus, and the promise that Jesus will one day come with us after he has been with us for forever in heaven. He'll come on earth. But before that, he paints a picture of how he'll first have picked us and resurrect us, resurrect our bodies. And he catches up. You know, the name to catch up is the name that we talk about. The rapture means catch up. Some people say that we do not have the name rapture in the Bible. Yes, we do not have. But we have the essence of the name, which is catch up. You'll be caught up with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. You see, we are meeting the Lord in the air. Now, this is the difference between when Jesus comes again to rule in the millennium time. You see, this, he is catching up the believers in the air. You discover when we talked about Jesus coming again with the beloved, with the believers, with his beloved wife, he will be coming to judge those who died. And that's the time the dead without Christ will raise again. But so I want you to differentiate between the second coming of Jesus, when Jesus comes together with the believers, with the church, and the rapture, when Jesus comes for the church, when Jesus resurrects the church. Our Father, encourage us to get to know that those who died in the Lord are not lost, and they will remain with him forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.